We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
His call was so good, we opened our show with it. It's gone viral all over the internet. And that, course, is the voice in Espanol of the Philadelphia Eagles and your New York Yankees. And that is Ricky Ricardo. Wow. Ricky?
Ricky, I didn't know if you could top the call of the game-winning field goal against the Texans a couple weeks ago, but uh-huh. You actually topped it with yesterday's call. I have to tell you.
I appreciate that, fellas. Before anything else, Happy New Year.
Same to you.
I miss you guys. Look, it was a fun game. I got off the airplane. All night long, we got back from Chicago. I drove up the turnpike to leave my car at my apartment to get back on another airplane to fly back here home to Florida because I want to get nine holes in after lunch, Joe, by the way.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, but all night long, I've been getting requests from newspapers and every media outlet possible. I am absolutely stunned by the reaction to this. It was just something that happened. And Cody Parkey, and I was listening to you guys when you got on the air, Cody Parkey was an Eagle a couple of years ago. So I saw him hit a couple of kicks, but I also saw him spit the bit on a couple of occasions. And I think Doug Peterson had, you know, the same vibe I did. He had the one timeout left and called it right as he was kicking the first time. And right. That one went right
yeah,
down
it was
the
perfect.
Middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he made him think about it, and he came back. It got tipped. Let's remember that.
Yep.
It got tipped, and that ball hits the left upright. I'm still waiting to finish the call because usually when it hits the inside of the upright, it will go through.
Right,
but instead
right.
of going through, it went down, hit the crossbar, and instead of going behind the crossbar, it went in front of it, died right there in the end zone. And I watched the referee blow it off dead, and the bear mascot fell to the ground, and right there,
yes.
I just, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you see the bear mascot fall to the ground, and my favorite part of your call is singing the classic Sinatra song.
Oh, my God,
song.
The Chicago song. You know, Ricky, that is off the charts, Rick. I got to tell you.
Maybe I'm channeling my inner John Sterling. I've been accused of that.
It could be.
But we got away with a big win in L.A. about 3 weeks ago when this whole Nick Foles resurgence began with that upset win against the Rams. And that night, Wendell Smallwood scored a couple of touchdowns, so I started singing "Hooray for Smallywood!" Da 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 da.
That's pretty good.
Wow!
And it's blossomed from there. But this team is taking us on another wild ride. You know, you guys are absolutely right about Nick Foles and the way this team reacts to him at quarterback. Carson Wentz is going to be, unless Foles wins another Super Bowl, but Carson Wentz is the future quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles franchise. But you know, fellas, I've been thinking he's got to start feeling at some point like Steve Young did with Joe Montana's shadow hanging over his head. Until Carson Wentz wins his own Super Bowl as a Philadelphia Eagle, he's going to feel like Steve Young. And I remember distinctly when Young got that Super Bowl win against the San Diego Chargers. Guys, what was the first thing he did?
Yeah.
He got his teammates, and he said, "Get the gorilla off my back." Remember that, Joe?
I do. Absolutely do.
That?
Yep.
And he kept denying, I don't feel any pressure. He denied it for years. But until he won his own Super Bowl, and that moment when he said, "Go ahead, lift that gorilla off my shoulders," if this continues this way, Carson Wentz is going to start looking up at the heavens and say, "What did I do? I get hurt 2 years in a row, and here comes my backup and takes – you know, the team to the promised land. It's unbelievable.
I got to ask you this, Ricky, because we were talking about this with Carl Banks, and I don't know if this is – I'm sure Nick Foles wants his own team and he wants to be the starter, but he's a god in Philadelphia. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, yep. Nick Foles is a – he walks on water in the city of Philadelphia. Is there any way that Lurie would say, look, you know, I got Wentz, he's my starter, but I got to keep Foles around. Is there any way that would happen where they would keep the two of them?
The only way I can describe it, Joe, it would be a Bobby Bonilla-style contract where Nick Foles' great-grandkids will be getting checks from the Philadelphia Eagles for years to come. It's a $20 million cap hit, as
right,
it is right,
right
now. For
right.
And you're not going to have your backup quarterback, you know, be a $20 million cap hit. Now, having said that, let's say that he wins one more game or two more games. How can you take the ball away from
yeah.
this guy's hands?
No, I agree
so
with
would
you.
So would they ever trade Carson Wentz? Would they ever do that?
I think Foles would have to carry the Lombardi Trophy for the second time this year. If it got to that extent, then they would have to, you know, sit down and reevaluate the whole thing.
How about if he just got there? I mean, if he just got this team there after they were 6-7, looked like they were dead in the water, they got buried by the Saints that game. How do you let the guy go?
It's a very difficult situation for Howie Roseman and Eagle management. Guys, there's a shrine. The players built a shrine to Nick Foles.
Of course.
With candles in the locker room.
I'm sure they did. And how many people's houses have that shrine, too, in Philadelphia? Probably a lot.
Literally, the guy has a statue. I don't know if you know this.
Outside of Lincoln Financial,
yeah,
right?
Him and
outside
Peterson, right?
Outside the stadium, there's a statue of Nick Foles, and there is a literal, built by the defensive line guys, there is a shrine in the locker
wow.
room complete with candles dedicated to Nick Foles. It's been there for the last 3 weeks. The most awkward feeling guy in the room has got to be Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. Well, can I be bitter for a second just to let some bitterness out? You should also be thankful to Kirk Cousins because his ineptitude in Week 17 against the Bears brought the Eagles into this world.
And
they needed a little bit of help, and they certainly got it.
And how about this, too, Ricky? Just think the Bears, they could have lied down in that game, let the Vikings in that game, and they would have probably killed the Vikings yesterday.
They should have.
Yeah, you know, Matt Nagy, when he finally got to bed last night, must have been thinking, why the hell didn't I just give that game? I'd have played the Vikings for the third time.
Yep.
Would have won that game. Would have played it at home against a division opponent. But I give him all the credit in the world. Remember, Nagy and Doug Peterson were both on Andy Reid's staff.
Right.
These guys are friends. They've known each other for years. I don't know if there was any communication at all between them. I doubt it. But I give Nagy credit for, you know, playing his guys. He played Trubisky that entire game. And remember, the Bears got up early in that game. Okay? And I was in Washington that day, and you know the Eagles were shutting the Redskins out. I was waiting on the monitor that we had in the booth. I was waiting to see Chase Daniel come in the second half.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, Ricky, you look at Dallas, and I don't know how much it helped the Cowboys in their win, but they played Dak the entire time, and a game that meant nothing. The Bear game meant something in terms of, for them, if somehow the Rams lost, they could have moved up to two. That was unlikely. But maybe they looked at, hey, let's give this young guy even more experience. He missed a bunch of time in the middle of the year. So maybe it was more about preparing his own team for this game than even thinking about the circumstances of Minnesota and Philadelphia. Maybe that was a factor.
I agree with you there. And from what I heard in Chicago, Nagy challenged Mitchell Trubisky at different points throughout the season. He's put challenges in front of this young man to develop him, you know, as a full-fledged NFL quarterback. And one of the challenges was, you know, finish the season. I'm not going to pull you. Let's get that 12th win. And who knows if the 49ers can make a major comeback. At halftime, I think the Rams were up 24-3.
Yeah, it was over.
Like that.
It was over, yeah.
The game was over. But I don't think they even put the score up on the scoreboard. I know in Washington at FedEx Field, they purposely did not put the Bear-Vikings score on the scoreboard. You heard rumblings, you know, in the stands because it was an Eagle fan takeover. But the players couldn't look up to the scoreboard and see that the Bears were winning that game. There was no chance of that, and there was no news of it on the sidelines unless somebody was leaking it to them. And I think that Nagy did the same thing that day in Minnesota. They purposely didn't put the Ram 49ers score up there. And Nagy challenged his young quarterback to finish what he started. Remember, he had missed a couple of games, including the Giant game.
Right.
I mean, the Bears, when you look at it, the Bears lost to the Dolphins and to the Giants, and they should have never lost opening night against the Green Bay Packers.
Right. Blew 17-0 lead. 17-0
well,
lead.
The Bears should have been, Joe, Evan, they should have been 14-2.
Oh, no doubt.
Minimum.
And
minimum.
To your point, every loss they had was a game they should have won. Every one of them. The Packer game you mentioned,
right. Yep.
They lost to the Dolphins in overtime.
Yep.
They lost to the Patriots in a
one-score
game. Giants
in overtime,
game.
Too.
They lost to the Giants in overtime. Every loss they had was a one-score game. Every one of them.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think Nagy challenged his young quarterback to finish what they started. They got to a 12-4 record. they were playing well yesterday. The Eagles couldn't run the ball, you know, to save themselves. A couple of runs by Darren Sproles, clutch veteran, but that was it. This was Nick Foles. And let me tell you, after the Bears took the 15-10 lead and the Eagles go three and out deep in their territory, okay, and have to punt to Chicago, and they got the ball at about the 38, 39-yard line, but the Eagle defense came up big and got their own three and out and forced another punt for that one last drive that Foles takes them down the field with clutch passes on fourth down, converts first downs with Alshon Jeffrey. You know, Foles said after the game that he read Alshon Jeffrey's body language from the time the kickoff, you know, from 4:40 in the afternoon, he knew Jeffrey was going to be ready to play against his old team, and he went to him constantly because he knew in his heart that Jeffrey was going to make big plays. And the other guy, Golden Tate, who catches the touchdown pass that eventually wins the game, Tate has been chomping at the bit to be a big part of the Eagle offense. Since he got traded from the Lions, they really haven't utilized him to his full extent, to his potential. But yesterday, that all turned around, and that was a clutch fourth down pass, sidearm from Nick Foles. He looked like Pat Neshek, the Phillies reliever, because he had the one guy right on top of him, 96, I forget his name, that was about to block the pass.
Akeem Hicks.
And he throws the ball sidearm, and it's a perfect pass right to the hands of Golden Tate in the corner of the end zone, and the rest is history. We'll get to the midfield goal.
You know, I want to give a guy, we're talking to the great Ricky Ricardo, who, of course, does the Eagle broadcast in Spanish, does the Yankees in Spanish as well. I'm going to give a props to this guy, an unsung hero in this game, and that's Jason Peters, who did a tremendous job on Khalil Mack in this football game to the point that Mack was really a non-factor in this game, Ricky.
One sack for a loss of 8 yards. That was it, okay, against Nick Foles. And they had pressure on him, but they gave him just enough time to get rid of the ball. So the combination of Peters and Lane Johnson on the right side has become, if there's such a thing as a shutdown, you know, a right tackle, that's Lane Johnson. But you're absolutely right. The Jason Peters situation on the left side, which has been up and down this year, he's been hurt, he's a veteran, he probably is playing his last games not only as an Eagle, but probably will retire after this season. But he mustered up a big effort yesterday. When I saw Dick Butkus and Brian Urlacher
come
out of the tunnel before the game, and that place went bananas. And I said, oh, my God, you know, Khalil Mack is going to be channeling these two guys in this game. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about the protection, but let's also remember that in those games that Nick Foles won since he got in the Ram game, Aaron Donald nailed him on three different occasions where I didn't think Foles was going to get up.
Right.
In the Texan game, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, bruised his wrist where he had to come out of the game for a play.
Even last week against the Redskins.
And in last week's game in Washington, he had to come out of the game for bruised ribs also with the hit from Ryan Kerrigan. So you give all credit to Foles. The guy's got guts. The offensive line has done their best to keep him upright. But these wins against the Rams, the Texans, Kerrigan's always a terror against them, and yesterday the Bear defense, they've kept this guy upright. So it's a combination of what you talked about, a great effort from the Eagle offensive line, and very smart quarterback play on behalf of Nick Foles.
So Nick Foles and the Eagles will be an underdog in the postseason. I think it's now for the fifth straight time when they go to New Orleans.
Let me ask you this question. How big a deal, how much motivation do the Eagles have for the beatdown they took in New Orleans about a month and a half ago?
Oh, believe me, they have not forgotten that 48-7 beatdown that day. And since that day, the Saints haven't been the same. They looked okay on Thanksgiving night against the Falcons, but then they lost against the Cowboys when they only scored 10 points. And, you know, Breeze didn't play. We're talking about these quarterbacks that played that final week of the season.
Yeah, last week, right. They mailed that game in against Carolina.
Breeze has not played in 3 weeks. So we will see if the rest works. Look, I remember, you know, the Colts-Jet situation. Do we rest? Do we play? Blah, blah, blah. Different quarterbacks, different teams. It affects them differently. But believe you me, you're right. The Eagles haven't forgotten about that 48-7 beatdown in the Superdome. They're going to come in with a chip on their shoulders with the whole underdog thing again and the black masks about, you know, the ski masks about takeaways. So they will be ready to go. And they're already, what, a 9, 9.5 point
yeah.
underdog.
Yeah.
So,
I saw it at 10 in one place. It's a bigger number than the regular season game was. Regular season
so
game
they're,
was 8.
They're adding fuel to the fire, which already exists. And this is a different Eagle team that comes into the Superdome on Sunday. This is a Nick Foles-led team, not a Carson Wentz-led team. And remember this name, Eli Apple. Alshon Jeffrey.
We know we're well aware.
The matchup I'm looking forward to calling.
You know, you know what? By the way, and yesterday you had Prince of Mukamura. Let's not forget that. Who maybe that one of the biggest plays of the game was that pass interference call. And let me say this too. I gotta say this, Ricky. Watching these play, they didn't call anything all weekend. I mean, all weekend they didn't call anything. There was all kinds of pass interference going on in every one of these games, and that's the only one they called. I mean, how about that, too?
Yeah, you know, Charles Haley was sitting next to the commissioner in Dallas.
Right,
And the commissioner was in Chicago yesterday, too. I don't know if having the eyes of Goodell at the stadium, you know, if that made a difference at all. But the whole fiasco with that one call where the ball gets stripped and it's lying there.
Yeah.
You know, and the explanation I got, well, was that they blew the play dead, that the whistle had blown.
Right.
So if they blew the play dead, why even go and
check it out? We were talking about that earlier. That turned out to not even be relevant to even check it out.
There's
there was
too
no
many
point.
Rules.
Why,
Ricky?
Why review a play that got called dead?
Too many rules in this league. The NFL has too many stupid rules. Hey,
Ricky, we got to run, but great call. We really appreciate you coming out.
Yep.
Anytime, fellas.
You're the best, man.
Enjoy New Orleans, Rick.
Ricky Ricardo.
It's going to be fun. Indeed. 9 holes today, Joe.
God bless you. Get a couple birds for me, will you?
Have a good time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.